Jesus. And it says, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat on the well, or by the well, according to what version you're reading from. And it was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered, and he said to her, if you knew the gift of God, what's this? If you knew the gift of God, say gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God? Jesus. That's our gift. Salvation. Grace. That's Jesus. So if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. And where then do you think that you can get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me some of this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, this is important, go and call your husband. And come here. And the woman answered and said to Jesus, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you've well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place to worship, where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me that the hour is coming when you will neither worship, or you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? And the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and she said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then they went out of the city to come to Jesus or to see him. Father, we love you and we just thank you for your word and ask you to just anoint it, bless it, touch it, minister to it. Give me open hearts and give me open minds to be able to hear the word and receive it. And I just want to praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk with you very briefly this morning about having a real encounter with God. Now, this is a story about a woman who really had an encounter with Jesus Christ. She did not hook up with him because it was the thing to do. She didn't know that was the thing to do at that time. Very few people did. She did not try to hook up him because everyone else was doing it, because hardly anyone else was doing it. She was not doing it for any particular person, but She hooked up with him because he spoke into her life. Real encounters, real life encounters that we have comes from people who speak truth into our lives and we believe it. See, it really doesn't become an encounter until you hear truth and you believe it. You must believe it once it's spoken into your life. It becomes an encounter when someone speaks truth. How many of you know that a lot of times it's very difficult to accept truth? I mean, you know, we don't have to be abrasive with it. We just got to know that truth sometimes doesn't sit well with us, and it's like a little prick. But God always allows truth to be able to set us free. We know that when God speaks to us through someone or even through himself, through our prayer time or what have you, and he speaks truth into our lives, even though it may be uncomfortable, it's still the truth. And that brings us closer to him, but makes us have an encounter with him. And I've had encounters with him, many encounters with him, and I've had encounters with other people, with people himself. And it might not have been spiritual. It could have been about business or personal or something else. But once someone spoke truth into my life and I believed it, it became an encounter. I never forgot it. I look back over my life and I can remember things that happened, and people begin to speak things into my life that I never dreamed would happen to me. And I believed it when they said it. And when they said it, it became living within me. And my mind began to think, yeah, this can really happen. And then I began to think all of those things that I wanted to do, or I thought that I wanted to do, were not as important to me at this point in life because someone had spoken truth and I believed them and I had an encounter. This woman had a real encounter with God because he spoke truth into her. First thing that when you're reading this particular passage of scripture, the first thing you're going to find that the truth that Jesus told her was she had a problem with submission. He said, go and get your husband and come back here. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you well said, you told the truth, you don't have a husband, you've had five, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. And the problem is not your husband, the problem's you. You can't submit. And if you don't submit, you never take the role of a wife. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. You got to be able to submit. You got to have that submissive spirit. And he said, you've well said, you've never had a husband. You've just always wanted to run the show, and you wouldn't let anybody say. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's pretty hard. Well, but it's truth. It's truth, and sometimes we got to just speak truth, and you've got to hear it, and you've got to receive it, and you've got to believe it. So he began his relationship with her on the fact of truth. Listen, truth is the greatest thing that you have going for you. That's something no one could ever discharge. That's something that no one could ever come against you with. If you're always truthful about what you do and about what you say, you'll always be where you can say it again and not have to worry about it. And God began to deal with her through Jesus Christ about truth, just speaking truth. He spoke truth into her life, and she had a tremendous encounter. And when God begins to speak truth into you, then your situation is going to change. He will speak life into it. He'll speak life into your circumstances, and you'll begin to see things different. He'll speak life into your marriage, life into your job, life into your relationship. But you've got to be able to accept that and allow that encounter to become real in your life. And in order to do that, you got to believe it. How many of you know, and I just can't help but say this on this last Sunday of 2015, that God, when he speaks to me, sometimes he speaks some of the craziest stuff I've ever heard in my life. I'm thinking, this can't be God because it's too crazy. And then I have to stop and remember that the Bible tells me that I can't think like God. I can put on the mind of Christ, but I don't have God's thoughts. I have my natural thoughts that get in the way. And I realize that God speaks things that you and I cannot understand, because God has already moved out of your present, and he's also in your future, and he's just waiting for you to get there. He knows how everything is going to play out, and all of a sudden, he's telling you stuff that you can't even understand. But see, when encounters happen with God, even though you don't understand it, you believe it. Once you believe it, then God can begin to use it in your life. But you got to believe it first. You got to absolutely. You know what? I can remember, and I know some of you said, well, Pastor, that's been a long time. It really has been, you know, like about 60 years ago or longer. But I remember trying to learn how to ride a bicycle. You know it's a balance thing, but it's also a mind thing. I had to believe that I could get on that thing and start pedaling until I made it. I just felt like I could do it, and I thought that the faster I pedaled, the easier it was. And so I thought, life is meant to go fast. And everything I did, I went fast. I get on, I said, pedal, pedal, and I'd pump them away, I'd pump them away, and here I could go straight. But when I began to slow down, the handlebars went crazy on me. Because, see, back then we didn't have asphalt roads. We had dirt roads. It's hard to ride a bike in a dirt road. I mean, you know, you got to realize, till I was well up in school, I thought asphalt was a hip disease. But you need to see here that when you have a real encounter with God and God begins to speak truth into you and you begin to believe that, then God can build on that. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this building this morning that don't know really how great you are. You don't know what a wonderful person God created when He created you. You don't know what a smart, intelligent individual that God created when he created you. You don't know what a loving individual that God created when He created you. You don't quite understand that my God is so big and He's so great, and not only does He live in my past, but He's in my future, and He knows what's going on in my life, and He's preparing me and He's walking me, and when I begin to stumble, He moves me back over in the path, and when I trip, He reaches down and picks me up to keep me from falling. And when things are going all apart, God said, it's going to be okay. And guess what? I believe it. I just believe it. I believe that whatever God tells me from the encounters that I've had with God, the encounters that we've had, it makes me know that God is real. God is real, and whatever He says, I can accept it. And even though that it may be far from me and I may not quite understand it, I do know that if it came from God, it will come to pass and it will happen. Listen, Jesus is talking with this woman, John 4:4, He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you and says, give me drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Listen, Jesus is speaking such truth into her life. He said, you would not have gone to things like you being a Samaritan and me being a Jew. You would have went past all of that. You would have went past about who the well, who cares who the well belongs to. You wouldn't have been dwelling on that. You wouldn't have been worried about what I have to draw with or what I don't have to draw with. You would have went past all of that. You would have went straight to the living water. You know, if I have one word to say to you this morning, I believe that before this year ends, we need to put all of this stuff that really don't make a whole lot of difference anyway aside and go straight to the living water. We need to go to something that's going to be able to sustain us in hard times when we don't know how to do and what to do and how to do it, that God would be able to speak it into our lives and we can go straight to that living water. He said, if you would have known who I am, you would not have went to all of these other things. You'd have went straight to the living water. I'm telling you, how many of you believe that we spend a lot of times on needless things? How many of you know that you worry about things you can do nothing about? Think about that. You worry about things you can't do anything about, because if you could, you would have done it and you wouldn't be worried about it. Amen. I mean, this is the way we are. We got to recognize that we would be going straight to that living water today. You know, I believe we need to bypass some things. I believe we need to go straight to the living water, and we'll never get to that living water until we allow the past to be the past and start forward from this day. This is the day that God has made. This is the day the Lord has made. He's created it for you and for I. We need to begin our life today. Forget about yesterday. Forget those things that are behind you. Put them behind you and press on to the high call of God set before you. That is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe that we need to bypass some things. I believe that some things, instead of just bypassing, we should just not try to figure them out. How many of you know that we spend entirely too much time analyzing stuff? I have a friend. I enjoy talking to them until I'm talking with them. Because I know everything I say, they're going to analyze it. Everything is going to be analyzed. And so I'm having to carefully choose my words so that in the next 5 minutes I'm going to be able to defend them. Because someone is analyzing it. Listen, I believe if you will read this story, you'll see this woman is trying to analyze every little thing. She's trying to analyze it. She's trying to figure it out. She's trying to make it normal, trying to make it natural. And look at me, God is not natural. God's not normal. He's not a normal God. He's the God of the whole earth. He's not normal. He's not natural. And she was trying to analyze this. She was trying to figure it all out. I would that this morning you would quit trying to figure God out. You'd quit trying to figure out what He's doing in your life. You'd quit trying to figure out all of these things. And you'd say, God, I trust You. I believe You. I had an encounter with You. And whatever You say to me, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to live in it. You know, I believe this sermon must be for me. What's this? How many of you know that if we will quit analyzing, trying to figure God out, God will be able to do more in your life than you ever dreamed that He could do? He'd be able to use you more. In verses 27 and 28 says that when His disciples came, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now, we're talking about people that are truly evangelical. This is the first evangelist Jesus sent out. Was the woman at the well? Listen, I don't want to say too much about this woman because I don't know. But I do know enough about her to say that we don't know what her past was, but we do know that it was enough that she said when she got into the men of the city, He told me everything that I've done. And how many of you know that the Word tells us that if everything that was said or done was written down, the world would not be able to contain the books? I can just imagine that when she began to tell these men that He told me everything I've done, men started scattering everywhere. You know, don't tell nobody else. You know, there's a time you tell stuff and a time you don't. Amen. Come on, work with me. Some things you just need to keep to yourself. You don't need to let your left hand know what your right hand does. You just need to kind of keep to yourself. I had a real good friend of mine who pastored in a church, and I won't mention the town, I won't mention the church or the name of the church or the pastor, even though it's well embedded into my mind. He called me after church one Sunday. He says, I need to talk. I said, okay, what you need? He said, no, I need to sit down and look you in the face, and I need to talk. I said, okay. And I've been in that town a number of years. And so we get together that afternoon, and he said, listen, let me tell you what happened this morning. A lady decided to get up and confess her sins. And in the middle of the church, she confessed everybody that she had been with, and a bunch of them was in the church. What do I do? I said, well, how in the world do you think I would know? I don't know what to tell you to do. I would probably move to another church. As a matter of fact, I'd probably move to another town. Are you with me? Listen, there's some things you just need to keep to yourself, just between you and God. If you'll do that, God will be able to use you a lot more, because what God forgives you of, He never brings it up. But what you tell other people, they can never forget it. Thank you. Thank both of you. She She left, the Bible said that she left her water pot. She left her water pot. That was the only thing that we know of that she brought with her when she got to the well. The Bible didn't tell us that she gathered up all of her belongings and left. It just said that she left her water pot, which was indicative that whatever she brought with her to the well, she left there. I'm going somewhere with this. There you go. Somebody got it. Whatever she brought to the well, she left at the well. Jesus was her well. Come on now. And that tells me that if you're still dragging stuff with you everywhere you go, you need to go back to the well and you need to leave it at the well. Once Jesus forgave you of it, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Let it go. It's in the past. It doesn't mean anything, and no one can hold it against you. Let it go. She left everything that she brought to that well at the well. I know so many people, and I've done it. I'm guilty too, bless my sorry soul. But I've asked God to forgive me, and I've said, all right, that's it. I'm going on. I'm never going to mention that again. I'm never going to think about that again. And dadgum, if I didn't lie to myself. Next time I'm praying, I'm saying, oh God, please forgive me. And I know the Lord said, how many times are you going to ask me that? I don't even know what you're talking about. Because I forgave you the first time and I just cast that away from you. That's not connected with you. You need to leave that alone. You need to just let it go. And so she took whatever she took to the well, I feel like she left at the well, because we know that when she left an entirely different individual. She was a different person than when she came. See, as a matter of fact, we can even read in this that it doesn't even read like that she's going to ever come back to that well again. I mean, she believed that she was never going to thirst again. She said to him, give me that living water that I won't ever thirst and won't ever have to come back to this well. And if she went to that well, she didn't go because she was thirsty. She was spiritually fed. She was filled and she had everything that she needed. I believe that we need to understand that once we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, that all of these other things that we've heard about and all of these other things become very immaterial to us. There's only one God. There's only one Savior, and He's Jesus Christ. And I believe that once you accept Him and you have an encounter with Him and He speaks into your life and you believe it, you become a different individual. You know what the Bible said? Paul said you become a different creation in Christ Jesus. You're a different creature. You're different. You're not the same person. You're not the same individual. You are different. You've become something you've never been before because you have something you never had before, and you know someone you never knew before. You're a different person. You've entered into a new level of living. You say, well, you know, that does, I didn't have that experience. Yes, you did. You just don't know it yet. You got to be able to release those things and start living in truth of what the Word of God says about you and I. I believe this morning that this woman left that well never to go back to it. And you know, can I tell you, you could say, well, she was going to the same old well, drawing up the same old water, drinking the same old thing, day after day, week after week, month after month. And when I began to read this one time, it dawned on me that that's the way we do church. We come to the same old building, doing the same old thing, and we're getting no more out of it than we did the first time. Now, you don't need to change buildings. That's not going to solve your problem. You don't need to change churches. That's not going to solve your problem. What you need to do is accept what the Word of God has to say about you. Because once I realized that I have become a part of the family of God and I entered into a church, it wasn't like me going to a church. It was like me coming home.
Right. Amen.
I'm at the house. I mean, I'm looking for my recliner. Are y'all with me? We just got to realize that God has more for us, and we got to be able to move into what God has us to do. And this woman had no intentions of doing the same old thing over and over and over. The definition of insanity. Expecting different results. No, she said, I'm not coming back to this well. She had to believe in her encounter, though. This is the key to it, church. She had to believe in her encounter with God. When she gets to, he told me everything I've ever done. Listen, I know that God made such a difference in her life that when she went back to these people, she could say, he told me everything that I've done. And not only did he tell me everything I've done, but he forgave me of them. I want you to come and see this man. Some of you guys need some relief. How many of you know or would say to me as I would say to you, every now and then I just need a little relief. I need for God to speak something positive into my life. I got to hear some positive stuff. I don't need any more negative stuff. I've got enough negative stuff going on in my life without hearing someone tell me about it. I need something positive. Man, I love to be around positive people that no matter what someone says that's negative, they got something good to say about it. Oh, it's going to be all right. Don't you worry about it. Let me tell you, I know somebody that went through that with flying colors. I know someone that lived through that last week, and guess what? They're doing fine today. Church, we just got to realize that this is going to change everything in our lives. We got to recognize we need a real encounter with God, and we need it before we leave this building. We need to leave here today saying, I've encountered an almighty God, and I believe it, and I trust him with it. When you have a real encounter with God, the things that bothers you today won't bother you tomorrow. The things that you seem real concerned that affected you and it won't affect you the same way. She left everything. She left it all. She left everything. The apostles, the Bible tells us, left everything. They gave it all up. They had a real encounter. Listen, I don't know why in the world that we read this book and we think of the apostles like, you know, they were a pack of dogs going hunting. Jesus went by one day and said, load up. And they all jumped on the back of the truck and took off. That's not the way it was. They were real people. They had real jobs. Peter was a very successful businessman. He represented the fishing authority in all Israel. He sat in high places and ministered and taught, and he understood that industry. And we seem to think that he just had nothing to do but go fishing one day and decided to just quit fishing, quit having fun fishing, and follow Jesus. No, it wasn't that way at all. They left everything. They left all that they knew and all that they had, and they followed Jesus. And this woman left everything. She left it all. She left it laying right there at that well. She just left everything. The apostle in Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. How many of you remember Matthew? He's a tax collector. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow him. And so he arose and he followed him. He arose and he followed him. Now watch this. How many of you know that tax collectors back then were not well thought of? But let me tell you what they were. Rich. Very rich. I mean, what was not given to them as their earnings, they stole. One for Caesar, two for me. I mean, that's the way they did it. That's the way they operated. Oh, and if anybody needed a favor, they went to the tax collector because he had the money to get it done. Come on, this guy had something going on. But he had an encounter, and the encounter, we don't really know how long that conversation lasted, by the way, but we do know it was a one-time conversation. And when Jesus come by, he had been watching Jesus. We're aware of that. He had been watching Jesus. He knew some of the things that was going on. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes by and said, hey, look, I know you've been watching me, and what you've seen is truth. Come on. Go with me. You know this is what you need to do. Come on. Get on board. He said, the money is not worth it. It's just not worth it. I'm going. You know, sometimes you got to get to the point to where it's just not worth it. The most important thing in your life is to follow Jesus. Amen. Just let it all go and just follow Jesus. He said, come and follow me. Come on. Come on, get on board. I know you've been wanting to do this. I've been seeing it in your eyes. And when I come by and see you, you watch what I say. You listen to me. You watch where I go. You watch what I do. I've even noticed that you've watched how I say things. And you know you're a part of this. Come. Follow me. Follow me. Listen, when you have a real encounter, you're just going to leave it all. All of that's not going to matter to you anymore. And what we need this morning in Go-To Church and in all the churches across the world today, we need a real encounter with God. We need to have a real encounter, something that's not a hoop and a holler, something that is just not made up, something that is not ritualistic, but we just need an encounter with God. You'd be amazed at how God speaks to you. Some, you know, if I've learned anything in the year 2015, and that is what a 3-minute call from your doctor, how it will change your entire life. And then somebody says to me, I wonder if what Jesus said, one little sentence to somebody, would change their whole life. Yes. Listen, church, we got to realize that we must have an encounter with God. We need for the Lord to just speak into our lives and change our entire lives. We've had a lot of powerful services. Pastor Ron and I, we talk often about this. We visit different churches. We got the best church I've ever visited.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we've got the very best. We have more to offer. We have great praise and worship. We have great people. We have friends. We have family. And we all get together and we're just one big happy family. And you feel at home. I don't care what you do for a living, how much money you make, how big you are, how little you are, how much money you have, or how much money you don't. It really doesn't matter. When we walk through these doors, we are brothers and sisters, and that's all there is to it. We've got the best thing in the world to offer. You know what you and I need? We don't need a big hoop and a big holler. We don't need the great, powerful revival services. What we need is a real encounter with Jesus Christ this morning. We just need to feel God's presence in our life. When you have a real encounter with Him, He's going to speak into your situation. He's going to speak into your situation. Watch this. I'm going to finish with this little story here. It's a story from 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, about Elijah, one of my most favorite people. I was in right outside of Haifa at Mount Carmel one time, and I went to where Elijah built this altar, and he called down fire out of heaven. And the stones, the huge stones that they built this altar with, was as black as my shirt. From the fire that came down out of heaven. It's the most amazing sight you've ever seen in your life. He's always touched me because I've been to that place and I've seen what God did through him. But I find that this encounter with God that he had in the 19th chapter book of 1 Kings on Mount Oreb, he was hiding from Jezebel. Now, hear me. A few days earlier, this guy had just called down fire out of heaven. He had just called down fire out of heaven. I mean, hear me. This is not a little thing. I mean, I just got to tell you, if I'm with you and you call down fire out of heaven and fire comes down out of the heaven and takes up everything around you and leaves you whole and you're standing there mocking you, I ain't messing with you.
Amen.
I mean, that's a big thing. That is a huge deal right there. And he had just called down fire out of heaven. And then this woman, Jezebel, who had this controlling spirit, she didn't really want to control Elijah. She wanted to control God. Hello.
Yes.
And so she says to him, what you've done, if there is a God in heaven, by this time tomorrow, you're going to experience it. You're dead. You're gone. You are dead. Now, She didn't convince him she was that powerful. Well, y'all got to hear me now. She convinced him she was that crazy. Come on. My mama would break bad on us, me and my brother. I'm telling you, I remember one time we were fighting. She grabbed a broom. I'm not talking about a vacuum cleaner. I'm talking about a broom. And the first swing she made, she broke the brush off of the... She just turned that thing around. I mean, she had us thoroughly convinced she could take us out of this world and it wouldn't bother her one bit. I mean, we thought, one of these days, we talked about it. We said, one of these days, she gonna flip. She gonna go crazy and she gonna kill one of us. And we're gonna have to stick together. I mean, she convinced us that that's what Jezebel did. Seriously. That's all Jezebel. What's this? How many of you know that I believe sometimes you and I just need to convince the devil we're crazy? Amen. We need to convince the devil we're crazy as hell. And there's no telling what we're liable to do. All he has to do is mess with us. Oh, come on, bring your bad self on. I want to get a hold of you. I've been wanting to get a hold of you for a long time. Bring it on. We just need to convince you. She convinced him she was totally crazy. Can I tell you one little short story? I pastored a family. And they had a child, their first child. You guys know them, so I'm not going to mention the name. The child would pitch a hissy fit. Anybody know what a hissy fit is? They go nuts. That boy would lay down in the floor. He would kick and he would scream and he would carry on. And they just could not control him. And so she kept bringing him to the church and wanting me to pray over him. And I kept praying over him and it just got worse and worse and worse. I said to her, I said, maybe you don't need me to pray no more. I mean, if it's getting worse. So it dawned on me. I said, I tell you what you do. This is not going to sound spiritual, but try it. I said, you put you a big glass of water. You've heard me tell this story. Big glass of water in the refrigerator. You're good and cold. And let him throw down. And just let him go to kicking and screaming in the kitchen floor. And said, just be real calm and walk over to the refrigerator, open the door, get out that big old glass of ice cold water and throw it right in his face and then go to speaking in tongues. I said, I promise you, that'll do it. Guess what? It worked. Not spiritual. But you know what? I really believe that she had to make a point. You understand why? That's the way we are with the enemy of our souls. We got to just, sometimes you're going to have to make a point. You know what? The devil knows you don't know what you're going to do. That's the reason he keeps tempting you. That's the reason Paul told us you got to have a made up mind. You got to have a made up mind. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be fickle. You got to have a made up mind. I'm going to live this thing and I'm going to live it regardless of what anybody says, regardless about what anybody does, what I have to go through, or what I have, or what I don't. I'm going to stay steadfast and firm to Jesus Christ. Then the devil will leave you alone. You just got to know he's after you because you're a little too fickle. Not me, Pastor. Yes, you are. Maybe we just need to make him think that we're crazy. So, you know the story. He gets up on this mountain and he's in this cave. And all of a sudden, there came this tremendous wind. And the Bible says something real. God's not in the wind. Then there came this fire by the mountain. God wasn't in the fire. Then there came an earthquake. Rocks started falling. God was not in the earthquake. But then there came this still, small voice. Watch this. He had an encounter because God spoke into him. God spoke life into him. God, see that encounter, as I said at the beginning of this message, that encounter happens when someone speaks truth into your life and you believe it. God said, that woman's not crazy. She just wants you to think she is. That woman's not going to kill you. You're not in bondage. You're free. You got a lot to live for. You don't. Why do you want to die? You got more to do than you've done. And we find he did more afterwards than he did before. What's this church? My goodness. And he knew that God had spoken into him, and he believed it. And when he believed it, he accepted it. And God began to move in his life. Oh, church, hear me this morning. All we need is an encounter, a real encounter. We don't need someone to tell us how to live. You know how to live. We just need an encounter with God. You know, we in the church, we got to where we're afraid to say truth because we feel like we must be politically correct. Come on. We're really afraid to, because we don't want to offend someone, so we don't really speak the whole truth. The truth is not going to run anyone off. The truth is not going to run anyone. Now, what's it? But now, if we invite people here, you and me and Pastor Ron, all of us, we invite people here, and they come because of us, you can run them off. You can run them off. It's kind of like I've always said, if I got to buy you something to make you happy, then I'm going to have to buy you something bigger to keep you happy. Yep. So if they're coming because of you, you can run them off. But if they're coming because they had a real encounter with God, you can't run them off with a dirty mop. Yeah, I know, that's Southern. That's not really where I heard it, but somebody else has heard it. But what's this? It's that real encounter with God. We're leaving a year. We're leaving 2015, going into 2016. It's my desire. Pastor Ron and I prayed together and talked about this. Our desire is that this church moves into 2016 with a tremendous encounter with God. We need that encounter with God. Now watch this. Stand up with me because I'm through. Stand up. I'm done. I'm going to do my altar service this way. You guys that remember the story of this guy called Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the blind guy sitting by the highway side begging. He hears Jesus is coming. He starts crying out, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me." And everybody trying to get him to be quiet. Look, man, you got to have a little more dignity than this.
Come on now.
This guy says, "Hey, you haven't been blind your whole life. I have been. I've seen the darkness of the world. And besides that, what is dignity? I believe dignity is a relative term. I believe that you can determine dignity by how close you are to the circumstance. Because I'm going to tell you, here's a man that was willing to jump up and down and holler and run and chase after Jesus and scream, Son of David and Messiah, have mercy on me. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care if people thought he had lost his mind. He didn't care if they thought he is deep in sin or no matter what was going on. He didn't care about that because he was having an encounter with God. I would this morning that you would forget all of your dignity and say, you know, all I want is an encounter with God. I just need an encounter with God. I need for God to speak into my life. I need for God to touch my body and heal me. I need for God to touch my mind and clean it up. I need for God to minister to me more than he ever had before. And I really don't care who's here and who sees me. I am going to cry out to my Jesus and ask him to have mercy on me, Son of David. And I believe that there's really not too many people in this building that can't relate to that. I can. I need Jesus in my life. I need an encounter. Whether it's an encounter with healing, for healing, whether it's an encounter for deliverance, whether it's an encounter for prosperity. If you're experiencing poverty, God wants you to live in prosperity. If it's a deliverance from the addiction to drugs or alcohol or whatever else, I believe my Jesus is able to do that. If you'll just have an encounter with Him, if you will bring it to the well of living water and leave it there this morning, my Jesus will be able to minister to you.